Thank you. Morning, everyone. Yes, so I'll be doing the building block of emotions. So remember, we first started with awareness, and we were always aware of what was going on around us. Then we were motivated to always do our best. Then we had to have confidence to think, use our minds differently for us to know what is right. And then intensity. We even learned how to breathe properly and which breathing to use for different situations. That was really, really fun. And then we did attention, not last week, the week before. And today, we're going to be doing emotions. So, who has been doing the daily devotions? Anyone else? I'm so proud of you guys. You guys should give yourselves a round of applause. What I realized is that devotions really, really, it either starts or ends your day on the right note. To a point where I do devotions in the morning and in the evening because I find that I'm learning so much that I want to keep on learning and keep on learning. And this past week's devotions was a lot of fun because it also went into things about the gospel and what the gospel means to us. And it went to G-O-S-P-E-L. So I hope you guys are really doing that because then it also helps us with our prayer, care, and share circle with our Just One friends. So today we're doing emotions. Who knows the movie Inside Out? Do you guys think it's a cute movie? I think this movie is so cute. But this movie also highlights how powerful your mind is and how powerful your thoughts are. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, it says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty and who rules his spirit than he who captures a city." So in your small groups, I'd love you guys to share, what do you think this proverb is saying about our emotions and about our mind and what goes on between the two? So I'll give you guys 2 minutes for that. Is there any person who wants to share just one thing, just one person? What do they think that this proverb is saying about managing our emotions? Anyone? Just one person. Drew? Yes, please share with us. What do you think that this proverb is saying about our emotions? So our lives are driven by emotions, and we make emotional decisions that are not always productive. I think when you're really, really angry, it's so easy for you to make rash decisions. Or when you're really, really sad. I remember when I was young, I just wanted to run away all the time. If I'm really sad, if I'm angry, I'd be like, you know what? I'm running away. But I never could because I was scared. Where was I going to go? But I used to then take my, I used to change and I wear all my jogging stuff and I used to go for a run. And then I realized that what I was doing was actually bad. And later we'll speak about a fight and flight mode. And I realized that I had a flight mode, that I always just wanted to run. And that was me not being mentally tough. See, mentally tough people control their emotions and they don't let their emotions control them. Are you guys mentally tough or are you controlled by your emotions? They have learned how to use their brain so that when their big moments come, they don't allow their emotions to control them, but they handle pressure and deliver their best. You see, if you're led by your emotions and you let your emotions overwhelm you, you're probably not going to be productive and you're not going to do your best. You're actually going to do the total, total opposite. And sometimes you can even hurt those closest to you. So what happens to your body when you're under pressure? Anyone? What happens to your body? Yes. You cry. That makes a lot of sense. Anyone else? Anyone at this table? Yes. You get sick. Yeah, some people actually throw up. Yeah. Your heart rate increases. Anything else? Yes. You get tired. Yeah. But we all have different ways, right, of what happens to our bodies when we're under pressure. Some people get itchy and they're just like, they can't stand still. Some people's legs feel really heavy. Some people vomit. Some people need the bathroom. You're just like, oh, I'm so nervous. And they always just like, go to the bathroom. And then nothing comes out, but they just sit there because like, they're just so nervous. It really, really happens. And then some people, when they're nervous, they fidget. Or you see them, I bite my nails. I'm always, you know, if I'm nervous or I'm stressed, my hands are always in my mouth. I'm always, I have to do something with my hands. So it's so funny how we all do different things based on what? Our emotions. So in Psalm 139, verse 23, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts." Has anyone ever felt really sad but had no idea why they were feeling sad? Really? It happens, hey? You see, this verse is saying, when you don't understand, why am I sad? You say this verse and you go to God and you're like, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts." Because God knows. He knows why you're sad. I know. So I had major depression when I was from when I was 19 till when I was 22. And I never knew why. I used to cry I just wake up and I'm just crying to the point where my cheeks were so raw that my tears would burn my cheeks. Like it would just be so painful. So now I'm crying because I'm painful in here. And then I'm crying, now it's even sore on my cheeks. Like it was total chaos. Because then I got angry at myself because I'm like, "Mussy, why are you crying?" So like in the movie Inside Out, it was like anger and my sadness fighting one another. And it was difficult because my emotions were really, really, really controlling me. And I had to sit and ask God, "What is happening? How did I get here?" To a point where I didn't want to be a Christian anymore. I was like, "This is tough. Lord, do you really love me? Because if you loved me, I wouldn't be feeling this way. I wouldn't be going through what I was going through." But the issue is, I had let my emotions control me. So I wasn't a master of my thoughts. I was a slave to my thoughts. So when we have moments when we feel overwhelmed by emotions, we can go to God and He will always, always, always help us. So I was even on antidepressants, right? And you're not meant to stop antidepressants. You're meant to go off it slowly. I went cold turkey, and that's not good. I don't recommend that. If you're ever on medication, you go to your doctor. But I stopped because I was so desperate, and I went to God. I was like, "God, you need to fix me. I don't know what's wrong." And God took me back to things from my childhood, and He really showed me everything and where I had allowed my emotions to become my God. So our brain has three sections to it, and that we think, first of all, is the chimp, then we have a human, then we have the computer. So the chimp is the limbic part of the center of our brain, which is the charge of the fight, flight, or freeze response. So who in a situation, who is like, "Okay, I'm out of here," and they fly, flight, you. And who freezes? And who fights? So are you, sometimes you're really sad, and because you're sad, you can actually be really angry, right? And then don't you end up hurting the people closest to you who are trying to be there for you? And then when you're really sad, and then someone tries to come to help you, you just keep quiet. You just freeze. You just don't know what to do. Or when you're really sad, and you just want to get away. You don't want to talk to anyone. And then you end up pushing away those closest to you. See, these are the things that happen when you allow your emotions to control you. So then the human is the prefrontal cortex of your brain, which is more logical. And the reasoning side of your brain that helps us to make analytical decisions and prepares us to act accordingly. So you know that part of your mind that just goes, "Okay, no, what's going on? Let's fix this." Because sometimes you get really sad and then you're like, "Okay, no. Okay, we need to do something." That is the human part of your brain. It's kicking in and it's trying to find a solution. And then there's the computer, which is the information processing a part of the brain, and where that signals and proceeds to send to the body for action. So after the human has decided, okay, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm going to do, the computer is what makes it happen. And that's the action you do. But you see, all these processes work together. They all. So someone who is sometimes who don't have the right mental, there's something wrong in their mind, one of these processes are not connecting and working together well. So in high pressure situations, the chimp and the human are both active, and they analyze the situation from very different places. The chimp tells us to fight, flight, or freeze, right? And then the human begins to reason and gives us a better way to use the pressure that we're under at that moment. So who thinks they use more of the chimp? And who thinks they use more of the chimp side? Fight, flight, Ashley's like me. She's like, definitely. You as well. And then who thinks that they use more of the human side? Yo, guys, that is great. I don't think I was one of you when I was a teenager. I was definitely the chimp, guys. Only later that I was like, okay, let's be human. But that's really great. That means that you're so close to mastering your thoughts. So the chimp is actually 2 times faster than the human. So it's always winning the foot race to the computer to get it to react negatively. Have you seen that sometimes when you're really angry and you start being angry at everyone and then you're like pushing people and then you start calling things out of people who did nothing and you're like, you like being in my face. And the person did nothing. They did absolutely nothing. It's because the chimp is quick, 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 and it goes to the computer, says react, 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 react. So it's so important that you always go back to that human and be a master of your emotions. So the mind hovers above the brain, so we can use it to manage our thoughts, our emotions, and our actions. In Joshua 1, verse 9, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." I think this really, really reassures us that even though our emotions can lead us one way, God will always bring us back. We don't have to worry because God is on our side. And if you seek him, we don't have to worry. It says, "Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So I've heard lots of people who are like, "Oh no, God is not near me anymore. He doesn't love me, and God's far from me." The thing is, God never moved. You did. You see, basically, there's no place you can go where God cannot find you. He knows exactly where you are. So when you feel like, "Oh God, you've left me," no, you need to analyze and realize, where have I left God? Where did I move back? Because God is always there. He always has his arms open. It's almost like the prodigal son. The father comes running out. The father was always at home. It was the son who left. So when God spoke these words to Joshua, he was seriously worried because the Israelites had been promised the promised land, right? But wow, there was trouble there because there were giants and the city was fortified. The wall was really, really high, and it was just really, really difficult. But God challenged him to not allow his emotions to get the better of him. God reminded Joshua that he was with him. I think for me, this really made me think because I remember when my sister passed away in 2012, I was in denial for a whole year. I didn't want to listen to anyone talking about her or nothing. I took my emotions and I hid them away. And God kept on saying, "Marcy, you need to deal with this." To the point where I was busy getting trained to be a missionary in Germany. And then a song played. Because your memory is very, 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 very strong. And your emotions can be linked to lots of memories. right? So a song played, and it's a song that she used to sing to my nephew. I started screaming. So that was my emotion, fight, flight, or flight. I couldn't anymore. I just started screaming, and no one understood what was going on, to the point where I couldn't breathe, and I almost passed out, because at that moment, all my emotions came rushing, all of them. And I realized at that moment that I had not mourned her passing, that I had left, I took my mind. You know how in the movie, one of the memories got lost? I kind of did that. I kind of forced it into a space, but it couldn't because it was too big. And I put all my emotions in there. And I was so hurt. Even the fact that I was even depressed, I realized that it's because I never let that go. I was very, very angry because my sister was murdered, right? She was shot in her house in front of my nephew and my two cousins. And so there was an investigation. And then back in the day, there was still BBM, right? And we found that one of the police officers who was meant to be investigating her case were using her phone. And I was so angry. I was so angry. And at that moment, I realized that I'll never have justice for my sister, that I'll never, ever know who killed her and why. But I had to let it go. I had to let it go. And at that moment, I decided I'm not going to let my anger fuel me, and I'm not going to let it control me. Because God knows my heart, and He says I must not be dismayed. And it was tough. I still deal with it today. Every single time I see my nephew's face, he asks me about his mom, and I break inside. But I can't show him that, and it's difficult because now you're fighting yourself. But I realize that God loves me. But more than that, God loved her. God really loved her. So I don't have to worry because I know that she's in paradise with our Father. Okay, sorry about being so emotional. But who watches rugby here? Who's a real rugby fan? Who plays rugby? Peter. Yay, Peter. So in rugby, before you do the scrum, before it sets, they say touch, pause, engage. And then the two teams come together like this, right? So in order for the scrum to form properly, this is what happens. So now how can we use this tactic also with dealing with our emotions? So how do we think, okay, touch, pause, engage. I'm going to teach you right now. So touch, you identify the emotion. This is, I think, the most difficult part. Because sometimes we don't want to know what we're feeling. We just don't want to, you know, it's really tough knowing that you're sad or why you're sad. So you identify the emotion. Ask, what emotion am I feeling now? And then after you have identified that emotion, you pause and you control it, okay? You're like, okay, I'm angry right now. Let me breathe. Let me calm down. You know, like Dutuko taught us about being intense, we use the right breathing tactic. We don't start going when you're already angry. No, you slow your breathing down. You calm your heart rate. You see, so you see how all these series are coming together and helping us to deal with everything in life. So remember our intensity that we learned. You breathe. You control the emotion. And you talk back to the chatter in your head. And you, because if in that motion you want to hit, right? You wanna hit someone. You're like, okay, no, if I hit, I'm going to be in detention. Maybe I'm going to be expelled. Or maybe, you know, I hit them and then my arm is going to be the one that's sore. And then, you know, then we're both in pain. So no. But you think things through. You think about the positive and you think about the negative of that action and that emotion. And then we engage. You use the emotion. And you're like, okay, but what is good about this? You should engage only after you've come up with the right answer from pausing. What I also realized when you pause, you go to someone who's older than you, a mother, one of the adult leaders. You can send messages and ask, okay, this is what's going on. And that person will help you deal with the situation, right? And to help you think about the best way to what? Engage the emotion. It really, really, really is helpful. So what do we first do? We touch. And what does that mean? yes. And then we pause. What does that mean? There you go. We control the emotion. And then we engage, which means we do what? Okay. Touch. Identify. And then pause. Engage. Are you guys going to use this? Are you going to touch, pause, and engage? I think this is a tactic I'm going to use all the time. Because, like, we get emotional in life, guys, and you have to remember something. What's the movie? Who has watched High School Musical? I think it's number 2. And then Sharpay is like, you know, like really upset. And then what do you use? Like those, your comfort words. Prada, da-da-da-da, whatever, whatever. So these are your comfort words. Touch. And you think about your emotion. You pause. And then you control the emotion. And then you engage. You use the emotion. Okay, so when you practice, you all know this. You guys are going to do it when you're at home, and then you're going to, if you're really in a situation and you don't know what to do when you pause, you message someone who's older, who you know is wiser and is more mature, that can help you in the situation. Because sometimes your friends, they don't know. Because they've never been through it, or they don't understand. They themselves, you guys are the same WhatsApp group most, so you won't know. They won't be able to help you. But you need someone who's older that you know you can trust. So in Philippians 4, verse 7, it says, God's peace, which is far more beautiful than the human mind can understand, will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. I think this is a really beautiful verse, because when you're feeling overwhelmed, you're stressed, you don't know what's going on with your friends and at home, you remember this and you ask God to fill you with his peace, to quiet your heart so you can rest and trust in Jesus Christ. So if you ever find yourself in a tough situation and your emotions, you're just like, wow, I'm overwhelmed. And they're running wild. You can't help but your emotions are everywhere. You're thinking here, you're thinking there. You remember that God has promised to give you peace, to give your heart and your mind peace. In 1 Timothy, I think 3, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Every single time before I used to write an exam or a test, I used to remind myself that, because I used to get really anxious. And I said, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And then this verse tells you, not only that, but he's giving you peace as well. And that's so amazing. So what are we going to do? We're going to join our WhatsApp group. You're going to do the devotions. And you're going to do the exercises. You're going to touch, pause. You're going to engage. You're going to remember, if you're thinking a bad thought, you're going to use the elastic band. When you feel like you're in a very stressful moment, you're going to remember how to breathe. You're going to remember how to motivate yourself, how to get yourself to do what is right. And then you're going to remember how to have confidence to do what you need to do. Yes, so let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, that you love us, Jesus, that you brought us here today to help us control our emotions, Lord, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us peace in our hearts. You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And you want our minds to be at rest. Help us, Lord, to be masters of our thoughts, masters of our minds, Lord God, that when situations are really tough and we're overwhelmed with emotion, we're sad, we've lost a loved one, or school is really tough, or our parents are always on our case, or we're fighting with our best friend, that we can remember to touch, pause, and engage. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us champion mindsets, Lord, and we're going to exercise that effectively. And I thank you, Lord, that the devotions that we're doing, Lord, are sinking deep into our hearts, deep into our hearts, so that in life, when life gets tough, we have the sword of the truth, which is your word, Lord. And I thank you for everyone here, Lord, that we're going to have a great week, that you're going to come into our hearts, and you're going to show us your love, Lord. you're going to show us. And I pray, Lord, that we find that person in our school who's going to be our just one. And we're going to pray for them, we're going to care for them, and we're going to share the gospel with them, Lord. I pray that you give us confidence to love one another the way you love us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So, as I was speaking about the just one, you guys can write your just one. So you think of someone in your home. It could be even your cousin or at school, one of your best friends, or someone you know in your team, in whatever sports team or drama team. And if you know that they don't know the Lord, you can write their name over there and we're going to pray for them. Not you. We're all going to be praying for our just ones. Just a short testimony about my just one. So my just one has been one of my best friends since we were, how old am I now? Since we were 13 years old. 13, so we've been friends for almost 10 years. And he knew the Lord, and then, he was a typical bad teenage boy, and he did that stuff, and in university got tough, and then Dololo Jesus, Dololo ways of the Lord, and I kept on praying, because now he was living in Pretoria, now he's in Joburg, and I was like, Lord, come on, Jesus. So I started pursuing him. So the first thing I did, I was like, come, let's go for lunch. We haven't seen each other in a long time. So we went for lunch, and then we started speaking, and I spoke to him about God, and then he was like to me, he wants to get baptized. And I was like, okay, but salvation first, then baptism. But I was just so excited, the fact that he was actually interested. So then I invited him to worship night, and then he came to worship night, and he loved it. And then the next Sunday, he came to church, and I didn't even invite him. He came on his own. And I was so excited. He even left me and made friends, and I was like, wow. I was very touched at that moment. And he messaged me the other day, and he was like, Masi, I'm serious about this thing. I really want to get baptized. So now he's going to be starting foundations here at church. And I've made sure that he gave his life to the Lord. We did the sinner's prayer, and he's excited. He's so excited that he's actually going to Bible study. He's telling all his friends about Jesus now. Now he's even knowing, oh, no, this person, I can't hang around this person. And the thing is, he's an artist, right? He's an actor, and he dances, and he sings. But now he's able to know, actually, this person is not good for me. You know, because the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. And he knows, because if he hangs out with them, he's going to become like them again. So he's changed his life. So my friend is going to get baptized. I'm so excited. But this is what happens when you pray, you care, and then you share the gospel. It really, really, really does work. And sometimes it takes years. It took 10 years of me praying and pursuing him with God's love. And it's not about you just coming and telling, God says, you know, you must be his child. It's not about that. That's where the care comes in. You love them. And you talk to them like a normal human being. And you share your heart. And then you share your faith. So a tip, if you really don't know how to share the gospel with someone, or how to start the conversation. So if you're talking about how things are at home are so tough, they're talking about this, and you can be like, you know, my mom and I argued the other day, but then I sat and I prayed, and I asked God to help me. And then I went to my mom, and we spoke. And then you already started speaking about God. Now the person knows that you're God's child, and then you love God. Now you have something to speak about. And you already have a way in. So you do it slyly. You don't just come, Jesus says. You must do it slyly. You put it in the conversation. And you see that they'll want to know more. They want to know more of how God is helping you. And why you're so happy, or why things, life is tough, but you're still positive. And you tell them it's Jesus. And you don't be afraid to say God's name. So then next week we're doing rehearsal. You guys must come, because all these series, as you can see, they're all linking together to help you to have a champion mindset. Have a great week, everyone.